Chapter 5. A Riddle Answered. This man, McCarthy, was a devil. His grip has been upon me these 20 years. He has blasted my life. It began in the '60s at the gold diggings. I was young and hot-blooded, but I had no luck with my search for gold. I took to drink and made bad friends. I became a highway robber. There were 6 of us, and we had a wild, free life. Black Jack of Ballarat was the name I took. One day, a gold convoy came from Ballarat to Melbourne. We attacked it, and in the fight, 3 of our boys were killed before we got the swag. I put my pistol to the head of the driver. It was this man, McCarthy. I wish to the Lord I had shot him then. We got away with the gold and became wealthy men. Later, I made my way to England. I wanted to settle down and do some good with my money, to make up for the way I had earned it. I married, and though my wife died young, she left me my darling daughter, Alice. I did my best to lead a good life and to make up for my past. All was going well until McCarthy laid his grip upon me. I had gone to London on business. There, in Regent Street, I met him. He had hardly a coat on his back or a boot to his foot. "Well, here we are, Jack," he said. "We'll be as good as family to you, me and my son. You can have the keeping of us. And if you don't, it's a fine law-abiding country, and there's always the police." Well, they came down here, and there was no shaking them off. They lived rent-free at Hatherley on my best land. There was no rest, no peace, no forgetfulness. Turn where I would, there was his cunning, grinning face at my elbow. It grew worse as Alice grew up. He saw that I was more afraid of her knowing my past than I was about the police. Whatever he wanted, I gave without question. Land, money, houses. Until at last he asked what I could not give. He asked for Alice. His son had grown up. It seemed a great stroke to him to marry his son to my girl. I was ill, and when I died his family would take the whole property. But I was firm. I would not do it. I did not dislike the lad, but the McCarthy blood was in him, and that was enough. McCarthy threatened me. I braved him to do his worst. Finally, we were to meet at the pool, midway between our houses, to talk it out. I went down there and heard him talking with his son. I smoked a cigar and waited in the trees till he was alone. But as I listened, all that was dark and bitter in me seemed to come uppermost. He was urging his son to marry Alice with no regard for what she might feel. It drove me mad to think that I and all that I held most dear should be in the power of such a man. I had to silence his foul tongue. "I did it, Mr. Holmes. I struck him down like a venomous beast. That is the truth, gentlemen, of what occurred." "It is not for me to judge you," said Holmes, as Turner signed the statement. "You know that you are to answer for your deeds at a higher court than ours." "Farewell, then," said the old man. "Your own deathbeds, when they come, will be the easier for the thought of the peace which you have given to mine." He stumbled slowly from the room. "God help us," said Holmes after a long silence. "Why does fate play such tricks with poor helpless worms?" James McCarthy was acquitted at the trial, mainly because of the evidence presented by Holmes to the defence. Old Turner lived another 7 months. There is now every chance that James and Alice may yet live happily together, in ignorance of the cloud which rests upon their past.